Hey guys, this is Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. We are a Youngstown studio production. Thank you for tuning in. I am going to do a breakdown of the Ohio State University schedule, a little bit of preseason predictions, and talk you through some of the off-season changes and what to look for as we head into the 2022 season. So let's take a look at the schedule. We are in early August here, but never too early to look at the schedule. So obviously you have huge impactful games bookending this schedule. You got the Notre Dame Fighting Irish coming to town on September 3rd, who will be led by former Buckeye Marcus Freeman in his first regular season game as head coach, taking over for Brian Kelly. You got pretty easy second game with Arkansas State. You got Toledo coming into town, which should be a night Fox kickoff, which is kind of surprising. But an in-state rivalry against a pretty formidable MAC foe. But I think that should be an easy victory for the Buckeyes. Then on to round out September, you got the Wisconsin Badgers coming into town. That should be a tough matchup against a pretty solid Badger team. And then you got Rutgers to start the month of October. If you notice, the first five games for Ohio State are at home, which is a really, really nice scenario for the Buckeyes. You do travel to East Lansing, then you come right back after a bye week against Iowa, then you travel back-to-back weeks to Penn State and Northwestern. Now, the nice thing about the Penn State game this year is they're always known about for their whiteouts. However, this year, that game is a Fox game, and Fox also has the World Series, and so that will be a 3:30 or a noon kickoff time, but it will not be a night game in Happy Valley. Indiana will come to the Shoe this year, and then Ohio State will travel to Maryland, and then the Michigan Wolverines will come the Saturday after Thanksgiving for the first time since 2018. They have not come to the Shoe in 4 years because of the COVID 2020 season. So that's a look at the schedule. Let's go on now to, these are my early season projections for the Big Ten East. I think Michigan is going to be a very formidable team again this year. They have a great offensive line, quarterbacks back. They will have a pretty good receiving core. Sorry, I had to take a break there. Had someone at the door and the dog was going a little nuts. So anyways, back to the Big Ten East. Michigan should be the most talented team next to the Buckeyes in the Big Ten East. Penn State will be good. Mel Tucker had his Spartans really, really good last year. And, you know, should be back to being a pretty solid Big Ten team this year as well. Maryland has a nice core receivers. They got Tagovailoa at quarterback, but I'm not sure they're going to be more than a 500 team this year. Rutgers with Schiano should always be scrappy, competitive, but they just don't have the talent to compete from top to bottom. And Indiana has really, really struggled the last two seasons. And I look for, well, last year, especially 2020, they really exceeded expectations. But last year and this year, I do not expect Indiana to have a good season. Taking a look at the West, you're going to see the top two teams I have in the West are both coming to Columbus this year with the Wisconsin Badgers, the Iowa Hawkeyes. I think Minnesota, Tanner Morgan is back. They should be a pretty scrappy bunch. Ibrahim, the running back, is a really good back. Really had a nice game against the Buckeyes to open the season last year before injury. Nebraska, Nebraska is one of those mystery teams. They have a Texas transfer in at quarterback, and Scott Frost has really got to get something done there. With a new AD coming in, they might want to change things up from the former Nebraska alum. Purdue, we'll see what's going on with them. Aiden O'Connell, still at quarterback. Illinois under Bielema should be an improving team. And you can never count out Pat Fitzgerald and the Northwestern Wildcats. When I say that, I mean they're going to bring toughness and energy and physicality to every game. But are they going to be able to close it out? That remains to be seen. So on the Big Ten West side, the crossover games for the Buckeyes will be Wisconsin, Iowa, and Northwestern. So let's take a look at Heisman favorite by a lot of, books in Vegas. So let's take a look at CJ Stroud and what he did last year. Threw for nearly 72%, 44 touchdowns, 6 picks, 4,435 yards. Obviously had some enormous games last year, culminating with the Rose Bowl victory over Utah, 500 plus yards in that game, and should be back and better than ever. Year two in Ryan Day's system. Obviously, last year, too, he had some shoulder issues that they actually even had to shut him down for a game last year. So CJ Stroud so that would have been 12 games last year with the bowl game. This year, possibly if you play 12 regular season, you get a Big Ten championship, and possible you could play up to 15 games with the playoff scenario. I expect those numbers to go up and up and up, and hopefully that completion percentage can stay right around that 72% mark. Now, we know Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave were drafted in the first round of the NFL draft picks, I believe 10 and 11, and then even Jameson Williams went 12, the former Buckeye from Alabama. Now, the reason a lot of people said Jameson Williams transferred to Alabama was because Jaxon Smith-Njigba would, be taking a lot of his reps. So Jaxon Smith-Njigba, just amazing season last year, 95 receptions, 1,606 yards, which I believe, I have to double check on that, set a Big Ten receiving yards record for a season, 9 touchdowns and nearly 17 yards per catch last season. Now, you are replacing Olave and Wilson, where Smith-Njigba could have been the, first, second, third target at any point last year. He's going to be the main guy this year. He obviously will be the main guy. He'll be the main target. But, some of these receivers that Ohio State has, which we'll take a look at the depth chart, with Marvin Harrison Jr., with Emeka Ibuka, with Julian Fleming, and on down the list, there are some really, really talented wideouts that I'm not going to not going to put them quite at the level of Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave yet, but the talent and potential are there for those guys to also have breakout years. Let's take a look at some of the records Jaxon Smith-Njigba set last year. So in 2021, he had 15 catches. If you remember, I believe he did that twice in the game at Nebraska and the Rose Bowl. Receptions in a season, 95. Receiving yards in a game, 347, which he has the 1 and 2 records because the Utah Rose Bowl game and the Nebraska game. So Jaxon Smith-Njigba is 1 and 2 on receiving yards in a game for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Receiving yards in a season, 1,606. Receptions per game for a season, 7.3. And currently for his career, which he had obviously a very shortened 2020 and only a handful of catches there in his freshman year, he's still averaging 5.25 catches per game in his career. Now, if we look at some of the records within reach, receptions in a career, which is KJ Hill, 201. Now he has 105 for his career. So if he did what he did last year, he's going to be right there. That would put him right at 200. Receiving yards in a career, 1655 is what he has right now. Michael Jenkins is the current leader, at right under 2,900 yards. So that is well within reach. Touchdowns in a game. He has three touchdowns in a game. He did that a couple times. There are four players with four touchdowns in a game. Touchdowns receptions in a season. His highest is 9. Now, this is going to be a very tough one to beat. Terry Glenn had 17 in 1995. 100-yard games in a season. He had 7 last year. David Boston has that record with 9. And 100-yard games in a career. Again, he had all 7 of them last year. So if he does that again this year, he would tie David Boston's record of 14 in a career. So a lot of records within reach for Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and you have arguably the best quarterback in the country and potential future number one draft pick, CJ Stroud, throwing you the ball. And, you know, Ohio State wouldn't be complete without a really solid running back. So let's take a look at sophomore Travion Henderson. This is what he did in his freshman season, true freshman season, 183 carries, about 1,250 yards, 19 total touchdowns, which broke Maurice Clarett's freshman record of 18 set in 2002. I believe 15 of those were on the ground. He had an average carry of almost 7 yards a carry, 27 receptions on the season for 312 yards. So a nice all-purpose back. And he's got some really nice tailbacks behind him. We'll take a look at the depth chart in a minute and let you know who's going to be, you know, he's going to be carrying the load, but he's going to have some nice depth behind him at the running back position. And obviously the offense as a whole, when you have such great weapons, you're going to set a lot of records and be up there with, you know, the best in the country. So last year, we turned the page. We obviously know this is a new season, but the primary core will be back this year. So 45.7 points per game last year, which was first. 562 yards per game last year, which was first. 381 passing yards per game, which was third. 181 yards rushing per game, which was 48th. Now, with the rushing yards, Ohio State's offensive line last year really struggled in short yardage situations. They hope to, be a little bit better with that this season with Justin Fry coming in as the offensive line coach. To me, the most amazing stat on this list, though, 7.96 yards per play, which was first in the country. You're telling me you're getting 8 yards per play. You're going to do some serious damage against your opponent. The Buckeyes put up 70 offensive touchdowns last year, which was second in the nation, and they were 52.3% on third down percentage, which was good for third overall in the country. So an amazing offensive season, which it's hard to build on something like that because, you know, the bar is set so high, but I really think they can do it. Now, there was a ton of staff changes last year. Four coaches are out, 4 new coaches are in. The biggest changes are on defense. Kerry Combs, who really struggled at as a defensive coordinator. Everybody loved Kerry Combs. He was a great recruiter, a great defensive back coach, but not a really good defensive coordinator. Teams, you know, in the Oregon game, especially last year, got really out-schemed. So he is out. Defensive back coach Matt Barnes is out. He goes to Memphis. Al Washington goes to Notre Dame, the former linebacker coach. And then offensive line coach, the only offensive change, is Greg Studra, which, he was kind of maligned for his recruiting from the offensive line. Ohio State obviously gets the in-state highest end recruits, but we're not necessarily getting those national guys that the Buckeyes really coveted. Now, the biggest hire of the offseason, and maybe the biggest hire of an assistant coach in the entire country, is you bring in Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator, formerly of Oklahoma State, who every single season he was at Oklahoma State, they improved, and they were in the top five in total defense last year. So Jim Knowles bringing in a new philosophy. His philosophy is, they're going to try to confuse the offense. They're going to fly around. They're going to make plays. He plays a three safety system. So you're going to see five defensive backs, most likely two linebackers, and your four defensive front linemen. But one of those linemen might be, standing up. They have a Leo position, they have a Jack position. There's a bunch of different names, and we'll get into some of those in a minute. But should be a big, big improvement for the Buckeyes. Perry Eliano comes in from Cincinnati. Tim Walton comes in from the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Justin Fry, as your offensive line coach, comes in from UCLA. So big changes for the Buckeyes, and hopefully big improvements in all of those areas. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the depth chart, but according to 11 Warriors, here is the post-spring 2022 offensive depth chart. You're going to obviously have Stroud, Henderson, and Smith and Jigba should be your slot receiver. I would think Emeka Igbuka or Julian Fleming, that could be a coin flip. We'll see how that goes out in camp. But Marvin Harrison Jr. will be your X receiver on the end out there and do some great things. The tight end position is confusing. It's a battle. We'll see how that goes. But Cade Stover back to the tight end position. And Joe Royer, G. Scott Jr., who has really bulked up, and Mitch Rossi is still there. From left to right on the offensive line, Paris Johnson Jr., arguably the best tackle in the country, but actually played inside at guard last year, bumps out to his true natural position at left tackle. Donovan Jackson, who is possibly considered the best offensive lineman on the team, or at least potentially in the future, but Paris Johnson Jr. should be a first-round draft pick next year if things all go well. Donovan Jackson at left guard. Luke Whippler, who is a student of the game, will be your center and making a lot of calls on the offensive line. Mac Jones will be your right guard, and DeJuan Jones, who is one of the biggest players, if not the biggest, in college football, will be your right tackle. Was really, really solid, in many areas last year, but he was a project and really improved last year and should take a next step to being a potential high draft pick in the NFL for next season. Now, one of the biggest issues for Ohio State is depth at that offensive line. So we will see. Josh Fryer, Zen Mikalski are really highly thought of, but we'll see what they end up doing. But there's, let's just pray for good health on that offensive line for the Buckeyes. On the defensive line, now we have JT Tuimolo, who was considered the best defensive player coming in last year in the country, but didn't come in till late in the summer. So he's going to do some great things this year. He's your potential Bosa type player. He's your potential game wrecker there at defensive end, which we're used to with Chase Young and whatnot. Jack Sawyer is going to play that other defensive end, possibly stand up position. You have Teron Vincent and Jerron Cage. They're kind of the older guys there on the three tech and nose tackle positions. But you got some young guys behind them with Tyleek Williams, Ty Hamilton. We'll see who pushes them. Mike Hall should be in the mix. So we'll see what they end up doing there. Will linebacker, you got Steel Chambers, who converted from running back last year, but by all accounts had a really, really nice, season last year. Middle linebacker, they really love Tommy Eichenberg. Made a ton of tackles in the Rose Bowl game. But if they're going to be playing only two linebackers, we're going to see what they're going to end up doing. Reed Carico at the SAM. You have a lot of really, really good, talented linebackers behind them, especially C.J. Hicks, Gabe Powers, who are highly, highly thought of true freshmen. At the Bandit position, which is your strong safety, you got Josh Proctor and Court Williams. Josh Proctor appears to be healthy and ready to go. He was a huge loss last year at the safety position. At corner, you got Denzel Burke and Cam Brown back for a fifth-year senior position. Now, they only have six scholarship cornerbacks on the roster this year, so we will see what, you know, hopefully, again, the health of that position stays good because, you know, they're not deep with bodies. They do have a lot of talent there, though. So Denzel Burke, Cam Brown should be your main two corners. You will have Jakalen Johnson and Jordan Hancock, two really highly thought of sophomores in there. And then Jair Brown and Ryan Turner are well-liked in that cornerback room. The adjuster, which is the free safety position, Ronnie Hickman, maybe your best defensive player last year. Kai Stokes, who is a young guy, and Sonny Styles, who should be a senior in high school this year, is going to be back there, and he's going to be a stud in the future, but I'm not sure how much of an impact he'll make this season. At your nickel safety, you got Tanner McAllister, who comes over from Oklahoma State with the Jim Knowles defense, could be kind of a coach on the field out there. You also have Cam Martinez back there, who was a great quarterback and athlete in high school and kind of learning the defensive backfield positions. But once he figures it out, should be really good. And then you got Latham Ransom, who was injured in the Rose Bowl game, but appears to be healthy and ready to go for the 2022 season. So that's a look at the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, this is the biggest question mark for the Buckeyes. We'll see how they do. But, Ryan Day put it out there. You know, he expects a top 10 defense year in and year out. Now, I don't think they need to be a top 10 defense, but I don't think it's asking too much to be a top 25 defense. Get the other team's offense off the field and give C.J. Stroud, Smith and Jigba, and Travion Henderson a couple more cracks at the ball per game, and you're gonna win a lot of games with that team. Now, we do need to beware of the early season non-conference home game. Going in reverse order, some games that Ohio State has lost over the past 15 or so years: Oregon at home last year, Oklahoma in 2017, that was the Baker Mayfield flag plant game. Virginia Tech in 2014, if you remember, Ohio State won the national championship that year. That was game two early on. Didn't have it that night. And, Virginia Tech beat them. USC going way back to 2009, Texas in 2005. Now, since then, they've beaten Cal, they've beaten Washington, they have beaten Miami, but those teams weren't great at the time. They were good, but not great. So we'll see what they do. But Ohio State's obviously had a lot of big wins and a lot of great seasons since then. But the early season non-conference home game has been a road bump for them in a few seasons. So let's buck that trend. They are undefeated at home since that Michigan State game, if you remember that sloppy rain game in 2015. So undefeated at home since then against Big Ten opponents. You obviously have a very big early season test with a top 10 opponent coming into the Horseshoe, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, taking on your Ohio State Buckeyes, September 3rd at the Shoe, 7:30 game. So a night game at the Shoe, should be rocking. It's going to be a lot of fun. Ohio State has done well against Notre Dame in the recent history, and hopefully they can continue that trend. But this is going to be a big early season matchup. Notre Dame's breaking in a new quarterback, a new coach. Ohio State should have the advantage being at home and having a second-year starter, Ryan Day, consistency at the head coach position. We're going to have plenty of, you know, breakdown of that game coming up as it stands. But very, very big game for the Buckeyes and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. A lot of playoff implications in this game. And it's you know, it's not the NFL. There's no preseason. You get right into it with maybe your toughest game of the year, week one. So College Game Day will be at the Horseshoe. This will be, again, September 3rd, Ohio State. It will be an ABC game. This will be College Game Day's 54th appearance in Columbus, which is the all-time College Game Day appearance record for ESPN. So thank you for watching this Ohio State early season, preseason breakdown video. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We will have plenty more. We're going to close out here with Carmen, Ohio. Go Bucks. Thank you.